Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on this Wednesday, 4th of November, post-U.S. Election Day, the morning after. What an earthquake. What an utter failure on my part to get to what was going on in this election in terms of the polls. I don't think I'm alone there. I think the number one takeaway from this is that mainstream media and their polling processes are completely done forever. We need to have been paying attention to these cowboy pollsters, so-called Trafalgar Group and others who got it right last time. I was relying too much on the 2016 national polling rates, actually in the week before the election, actually being very accurate on the total turnout into election day this time around. Totally off. Unbelievable. It looks like Trump could actually edge this one out. We need to get the final votes in. I don't want to run through all of that, but with that adjustment needing to be made overnight, we saw the market moving from this reflationary narrative. Oilier commodities were really having a field day. Dollar selling off. We had risk appetite up. And then that Florida result came in showing clearly, I mean, it was just a clear, and if you saw my Twitter account and what I was doing on the internal chat at the time, that Miami-Dade County shift where you're clearly seeing urban Cuban Americans shifting massively towards the Republicans from the result in 2016. That was just a real bolt out of the blue. Some of the patterns elsewhere are a little bit different, but that was the real shifting point overnight. Still don't know the election result. Trump seems to know the election result and was ready to declare it. If it gets too close, this is going to be a contested election no matter what, but if it gets too close, it could turn really, really ugly. I'm talking too long. Let's go to equities. I think equities have been really confusing in terms of the sort of torn in two different directions. Hooray, we've got Trump maybe. That's better in terms of the supply side. Taxes aren't going to get hiked, but still a lot of uncertainty.
Clearly, the market yesterday was setting itself up for the blue wave, as we talked about. Equities higher broadly, but U.S. technology stocks underperforming, Chinese technology stocks outperforming. EM was bid, the dollar was selling off, bonds were selling off. You had a clear setup for the blue wave, and we got instead the blue mirage, as we talked about, John, before going in here. So that was stage one, and then stage two came over the night when things looked very much different than as you said, the poll suggested, and you suddenly had the Nasdaq spiking higher, the broader market, the S&P 500, selling off relatively to the Nasdaq 100. Every single trade was flipped, and I think the consensus being short the dollar because of fiscal stimulus and all, it was such a crowded trade that it was squeezed out massively, and you saw also bonds being heavily bid. Then came phase three of tonight's trade.
That many phases?
Yeah, okay. that's more. There was more phases, and the phase three was the contested scenario with Trump's speech, where he said, "I'll take this to the Supreme Court. We'll fight the mail-in votes.
Stop counting
in Pennsylvania, Michigan, which are the two main states on that one." And suddenly you had the VIX spiking higher. You had equities down. European equity futures down 2% at one point, and then suddenly we got the Associated Press AP. Calling the votes or the election in Arizona, and suddenly you had all the positions flipping once more, and here we are with, I would say, a lot of noise and equity is confused.
And the stall, it seems to be a stall in the count, which is probably going to resume in the U.S. American morning, which will be mid afternoon for us in European time. Ola, we had obviously a similar sort of pattern unfolding in commodities. I guess more or less a flip side of what was going on in the U.S. dollar, but this really changes the calculus for traders if we are to see Trump pulling this one out.
That's true, John. And we initially saw the gold also yesterday, just over the last couple of days, reacting to this reflation trade, basically pricing in a Biden win, which would potentially drive the inflation expectations higher. That has at least for now been somewhat quashed, and we're seeing gold trade down on the day. As you say, John, it is struggling with the dollar that started to strengthen overnight. Because at the same time, we've seen quite a significant rally in bonds. Bond yields are actually, for a change, doing what bonds are supposed to be doing. So yields are down. Real yields are down as well, which I think will provide some underlying support for gold as the day goes. As the day progresses and over the coming days, with all the uncertainty out there, but I think if you look at something like the oil market had already put out a note yesterday, basically saying that the oil was in need of support from OPEC Plus because of the worsening fundamentals we're seeing right now with the pandemic not under control, and that's exactly what we got yesterday. Comments from Russia and also from the OPEC Secretary General that they could consider rolling back, cancel the hike for January and potentially even rolling back some of the recent hikes. So that, that gave the market a boost ahead of a weekly inventory report last night, which from the American Institute, Petroleum Institute, saying that stocks probably dropped 8 million barrels last week. So into this, this was basically the tailwind we had into tonight. And now, obviously, the market is, again, like many other markets, not really quite sure what leg to stand on. And so I think we'll probably get a lot of input from the stock market and from the dollar today.
Yeah, but I agree with Steen. We had the conversation this morning. I mean, the problem with the equity market and the interpretation is that it's very much driven by derivatives, options trading. And it's such a speculative, high volatility instrument or asset class over these events that you should be quite careful about interpreting too much on the equities. But I think actually on the taking your dollar narrative and your analysis there all a little bit step further, I think there's a lot of stake in the next 24 hours or maybe 3 days for the oil and gas industry and the green energy stocks complex, absolutely, if you want to call that. I mean, as I said to you, John, we talked about it, that green energy stocks should probably be selling off on the current, you know, probabilistic scenario that we're looking into. But actually, the green stocks that we track here in Europe are so far actually unchanged from yesterday. But you do have one of the big green energy stocks that really was under pressure in early trading here in Europe was Vestas, the world's largest wind turbine maker. So I think that's one of the key sectors to really watch over the coming days.
And if Trump does become president again with the Republican control of the Senate, that is still also a very finely balanced situation. Arizona was one of those seats that looked like it's going to go to the Democrats instead of the Republicans. I don't think spending priorities are going to weigh heavy from a Trump administration on the green side. And I'm saying that with double underlining. I don't think that'll be the case. So that'll be interesting to watch. Just briefly, in terms of electoral scenarios, if there's a Pennsylvania vote out there, there's still quite a portion of it to be counted, but it's still, you know, well, way, way, way over half, and the lead there is absolutely commanding. I don't know what the mix is going to be in those final mail-in votes that are tallied, but if that tally is correct, then there are high odds that Trump is taking Michigan and Wisconsin as well, and that means that even though Biden looks like he's taken Arizona, that he could also take Georgia as long as Trump takes North Carolina. That's a bit complicated math to digest on the audio, but it does look like this sort of Rust Belt area is now become sort of Trump country, the so-called white working class in those areas. And then it makes you wonder, it's very geographical, the stimulus, not just about black and green energy, but also about what kind of stimulus would there be. And this is, again, speculative. We don't know the result of this election. But under a Trump administration, I think the stimulus will be far less focused on handouts, cash, UBI types of initiatives, and far more on the jobs type of stimulus, infrastructure, reshoring of production, you know, the manufacturing base, satisfying that electorate that has voted in favor of Trump. People that want jobs more than handouts, I think could be a pattern we should look for. That's just some thoughts on that area. But the of course, first we need to get to what the final result is.
But John, what about the Senate race? What's that looking like? Because obviously they in Congress, the Democrat majority seems like it's dwindling. It's still a majority, but the Senate seems like it's still...
The House is going to stay Democratic. There's no way or scenario where that's going to turn. But the Senate was already tilted quite heavily Republican. It looks like maybe that majority could be eroded. I don't have the final numbers at all for you right here. But again, because we have a fine line on the overall election itself, it means we also have an extremely fine line in the Senate. And it is clear, as you pointed out, Peter, that it looks like a popular vote. And this is really the earth-shattering thing that really the narrative missed. We have a massive increase in turnout, or a large increase in turnout, but we have an increasing vote for Trump this time around.
Yeah, the share of the vote has actually gone
up. He could lose the popular vote. It likely will lose the popular vote again, but by a smaller margin than in 2016.
Yeah, that's a big surprise. I just want to say to you, to all this comment there, that according to the Bloomberg's election page, which I looked at just before we went into the studio, it did look like that based on the calls on the states that it's 47-47 on the Senate, and then you have the remaining still, not called yet. So it's going to be a very close call.
And then, of course, you have to remember with the 50-50, then it becomes critical who's president, because the final deciding vote will be the vice president in a Senate that is divided 50-50. I think we have no slide deck today. I think we've done as good as we can of just doing a brain dump here. I think that's about all we can do as we wait for these final results to be tallied. Again, I would certainly hope that we have, at least on our screens, a sense of what the vote count is showing by the end of Wednesday. Whether the losing side is going to concede, that is the critical question, if that vote tally is available, and that will be the key question, whether we can get a decision or this is going to end up in the courts in a nasty contested election scenario. So that, I think, will be, of course, what will need to be decided over the coming 12 to 24 hours. For now, thanks for joining today, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.